Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul, and we're here with our guests, Jerry Steichen and Kate Egan, who are going to talk about Souvenir, which is opening tonight, grand opening tonight at Cyrano's. And Kate, tell me all about Florence.
Florence was an hysterical character. No, she was a real person, a society lady who belonged to many music circles in the New York area and Pennsylvania in the 20s, 30s, early 40s. And she always had a great love of music, and she really fancied herself a great singer. And so late in her life, she came into quite a bit of money. She inherited money, and she used that money to put on recitals to, as she put it, benefit some of her favorite charities. And so the play, Souvenir by Stephen Temperley, is a fantasia on the life of Florence Foster Jenkins. So that, and that's an important distinction, because there are places where we take Florence a little farther than she probably was, but she actually, I think it's true that she heard herself differently than the public did.
Mm-hmm. So this is like a play about someone putting on recitals in Carnegie Hall.
Well, eventually, that was the
goal.
Pinnacle of her singing career.
It was her final performance.
And Florence Foster Jenkins was a real person, and this is a, so it's a comedy?
Oh, absolutely. Jerry plays Cosme McMoon, who was one of the one. He was a real person. Oh, Jerry, you tell.
He accompanied, in real life, he accompanied for her for the last like 6 or 7 years of her career, because her entire performing career as we know it only lasted about 12 years. That's how long she was active. What Kate didn't say was that Florence Foster Jenkins couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. She was a dreadful, dreadful singer. In fact, when we were in music school, I went to Oklahoma City University, and we would, you know, at parties, we would put on recordings of Florence Foster Jenkins and just laugh hysterically because she was so dreadful. She was a lot of fun, but we would laugh at her. So to actually get to do a play about this woman that I grew up with in college was a lot of fun.
You know, it reminds me of almost like show business itself, where you need this incredible amount of self-confidence, which could very easily like lapse into some kind of self-delusion. You know, people who have like a lot more nerve than talent, you know, which is an ugly situation.
That's so, very true of Florence.
So the people in the audience, were they like appalled and super uncomfortable, or did they purposely come to see her because it was a freak show?
Well, in the 1930s, she actually began performing at the Ritz-Carlton where she lived. And so the ballroom there seated about 400, 500 people. And so it was really her society friends who would come and support her. And yes, they were absolutely laughing at her, although they were polite about it. They would stop their mouths with handkerchiefs to keep from laughing, or they would hide behind the seats in front of them to act like they were catching their breaths, or they would rush out to the lobby and
looking for their glove.
Something. Cosme would talk about how, you know, you would hear the sound of laughter from the lobby, but Florence kind of thought that they were just overcome by the music.
You know this sounds like a cruel play, but I understand it is not cruel at all.
No, actually,
it's a very
you
sympathetic.
Come to love Florence
it's
by the
human.
End. Yeah, and. The one part of her, you know, musicianship, her dedication to music was absolute. And she,
True.
Playwright captures some real gems of, you know, to illustrate just how dedicated she was.
And also how committed she was to music and also to art in general. She actually, throughout the play, teaches Cosme and the audience a lot about life and how to deal with doubt or with questions of self-worth, because she was so convinced. And Cosme actually takes this whole journey of of personhood by learning from her.
Yeah, the foil that kind of makes reflects the moral character of the show. Mm-hmm. Now, Kate, as you play Florence,
yep.
So did you have to unlearn like good singing practices, or music written with the notes like flatted where
well,
she
there
doesn't
are
get it?
Occasional suggestions, and all three of us, our director Bill Fabry and Jerry, they both saw the show on Broadway, and I'm familiar with it too, and believe me, all the bad singing traits are not far from
all
good
the good singing.
It's, you know, we all walk that line.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Shock here with our guests Jerry Steichen and Kate Egan talking about Souvenir, which is opening tonight, in a gala opening at Cyrano's. There was a wonderful singer who used to make records, another singer who used to make records of lousy singing that in the 40s. I'm trying to remember what her name was.
Are you thinking of Anna Russell?
Yeah.
Yeah, Anna Russell was, she used
but
to...
But she was purposely that way.
Exactly.
She was aware
she would
of it.
Make fun of Wagner and Gilbert and Sullivan. And
she would like
well,
to
and
do
Joe Stafford used to
like,
do it, too.
Yeah.
Joe Stafford?
Uh-huh.
Oh. She used to have a TV
She'd make
show.
Party records.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. No, Anna Russell was so much fun. Again, we would put those albums on. I'm sure you did too.
Yeah.
And just laugh at you know, our foibles as performers.
Uh-huh. Do you remember a Mrs. Miller who used to sing
on
the
Glenn Campbell?
Yeah, she recorded
Carson.
"Ain't Got No Satisfaction" and pop
right.
tunes.
Yeah,
and she was sort of a '60s version of Florence Foster.
Yeah, she was on Reprise Records.
What, as I was going back to your comment that good singing isn't far from bad singing. Anyone who's ever listened to a music teacher knows that.
Well.
To music lessons, that is.
Yeah.
And your repertoire within the play, so you're like butchering some classics?
Oh, absolutely. There's Caro Nome and the Jewel Song from Faust.
The Queen of the Night
Queen
from Magic Flute. Which is hysterically funny.
Well, that always sounds like a parody anyway.
True.
Well, an interesting angle of the show is why would this concert pianist, composer, and actually very, you know, fine musician, Cosme McMoon, have spent 2 minutes with this woman? And the play illustrates, you know, it began, you know, this was post-depression. It was Rent. The bottom line. Mm-hmm. But why would he have stayed for 12 years or 6 years or whatever it was? He developed a friendship with her, and that is what the play is about.
And it's about mm-hmm. how he feels protective of her and really grows to love her, not in a romantic way, but as friends. So it's really about what friendship really can be and becomes. So it's really beautiful, but it's very funny, too.
Well, I remember when it was on Broadway. I did not get to see it, but I remember the reviews, and I saw a piece of it. Was maybe in the Emmys?
The Tonys?
The Tonys.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because I remember seeing at least the singer screwing up.
Right.
Well, maybe that was just an opera performance.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Not an Anchorage.
So is that the souvenir that the aide-de-camp Cozumel, Cosme. Comes away with? Is that the souvenir we're talking about? I always try to tie in what the title would be to the thing. You know, is it like a special commemorative program?
Well, Florence was eventually asked to record. And she considered that to be a lovely souvenir of, you know, so that she would get to hear herself and, you know, in days to come when her voice wasn't quite so strong.
And I also think a souvenir is something that you carry with you for the rest of your life that is a memento of a really special event or a really special person. So I think the bigger theme of the play is that the souvenir is their relationship, and it's what we mean to each other as friends and as artists. I think that's what the souvenir mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. Although the joy is you get to take whatever you want to from the piece. Hopefully a good time.
In addition to the actual vocalese being somewhat mangled, there must be a lot of other comic elements, too, to kind of underscore that. Are there things with costumes, or does Florence have, like, very strange concepts? Is she, like, over the top with, you know, high concepts that she thinks that you know, she should come out on a horse or something? She has, like, you know, grandiose, you know, with it, you know, kind of delusion.
Well, that definitely was part of what we understand about her performances in the 30s and 40s is that elaborate costumes and choreography, that was all part of it. In our show, there's lots of costume changes and lots of fun choreography from our director, Bill. One thing that we didn't mention is that Jerry plays the piano throughout and sings. And because this is 1930s, it's jazz. He is doing, it's set kind of in, I guess.
The story is kind of a flashback. So Florence has passed on 20 years ago, and he relives her life. His current job, he's playing in kind of a piano bar. And so he's sitting entertaining people, and it's been 20 years today since she's been gone. And so he tells the story of her life in flashbacks, and you live their 12-year relationship through his stories.
It kind of reminds me of, like, Citizen Kane with Marion Davies, you know, when he, like, rents out the place.
Exactly.
And then, you know, just for her, and then... with the review and everything like that. Do the reviews roll in too? And then does she just blow them off as people who are Philistines?
Like, she actually kept reviewers away. In fact, that's when they have their first performance. That's one of Cosme's biggest concerns, is he says, I want to make sure that this doesn't get reviewed because he knows how dreadful she is. So at first he tries to protect himself, and then gradually he feels more and more protective of her. In fact, he's terrified that, you know, the recordings are going to break her heart. And then, you know, they become very popular, and she becomes kind of an icon. So he keeps taking the journey with her. And I think for him, this is the high point of his entire life, at least in the play. This is really his 15 minutes of fame is playing for her.
She's kind of like ahead of her time, because nowadays there's people that do things and they don't do them well, but they're known just for doing them, and then they become famous for being famous.
Like American Idol?
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a precursor to the, you know, postmodern blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like today, kind of.
You know, we're going to run out of time here. And so I want to thank you for coming and talking to us, Jerry Steichen and Kate Egan.
Thank you, Jean. Our pleasure.
I hope everyone goes to see, to Cyrano's, to see this wonderful play.
It's very Souvenir. Fun.
And now, here's a Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar, go to datebook49.com, where you can list your event on KSKA's website. This coming Monday, August 30th, at 6 p.m. at Cyrano's, auditions for world premiere of Anne Hanley's The Winter Bear. This is a real-life story about Sidney Huntington. They need 4 native actors, 3 men, to play Sidney, the youth, and a middle-aged man, and 1 woman to play Sidney's granddaughter in her 30s, who is a lawyer, plus 5 actors to play mythical and magical roles. For more information, please call 274-2599.
Alaska Theater of Youth will be holding auditions for 2 plays on August 28th and 29th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the ATY Warehouse. The 2 shows, Just So Stories and The Voyage of the Dawn Trader, will run in repertory at the Sidney Lawrence Theater October 14th through October 24th. The directors will be auditioning both shows together. Please be prepared to do cold readings from the script and come dressed to move. For information, call ATY at 338-4901 or visit their website at alaskatheaterofyouth.org.
The Alaska Academy of Fine Arts presents A Midsummer Night's Dream. Shows are tonight and tomorrow night at 7, plus a matinee tomorrow at 2, and that'll be the end of the run. For tickets and information, call 604-8909 or go to www.akfinearts.org.
The Monthly Poetry Parlay at Out North is looking for readers. For more information, contact Jonathan Minton at 727-3234.
And finally, at Cyrano's, Souvenir starring Kate Egan and Jerry Steichen will have a gala opening tonight. It plays through September 12th. For tickets and information, go to 263Arts or centertix.net.
Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at kska.org. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.